up here, and he's ready to go. So give you our brother elder, Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. Okay, you can hear me okay? All right. I'm kind of excited, but I'm nervous as always, right? It's good to see each one of you. There's something special that we need to fully understand is the mission that that Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven has given the Bride of Christ in our dispensation of time. And hopefully by the time I get through my slides that you might, at least the first part of them, you might see, or at least start to see, the work of the Lord and why we're doing what we're doing. So that is kind of a preface to this particular thing, as the Philippines is one of those works that the Lord saw in our day. I've asked our brother that once I give him the nod, he's going to focus on the slides and not on me, so I can run around. They don't have to worry about it, right? And I will talk, and let's see how this goes. So I want to start with the prophecy of Zenos. Now, the prophecy of Zenos was a prophet that was recorded in the brass plates, if you're familiar with those things in the Book of Mormon. And the brass plates contained the lineage of Joseph, but there was a lot of other good things in there that were not fully in the stick of Judah that we have, which we call as the Bible. And so what you find in this particular prophecy has everything to do with Israel and the promises that God had given to Israel. So in Jacob 3:30-31, "Behold, my brethren, do you remember to have read the words of the prophet Zenos, which spake unto the house of Israel, saying, Hearken, O ye house of Israel, hear the words of me, a prophet of the Lord. For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will liken thee, O house of Israel, like unto a tame olive tree, which a man took and nourished in his vineyard, and it grew and waxed old and began to decay." And so this particular portion of this prophecy of Zenos has to do with the falling away of Israel, where we find that they were carried off in all of the Gentile nations. We knew it split the northern and the southern kingdom, and then after that, the northern kingdom fell, and then after that, then Judah fell. That's where we find that Nephi and them came out just before the fall of Jerusalem at that time. That's what we have, the account of the Book of Mormon. And this is what it's talking about, where it waxed old. It had the Mosaic law throughout all that period of time, from the beginning of Abraham when he brought him into the land of Canaan and said, this is your land, and I'm going to multiply you. And your seed, all nations will be blessed because of the promise that I make with you. And so this has everything to do with us as Gentiles and as Israel in our day and how that all plays out. So what we find in there, we find it's a planting because it's a vineyard. And we find here in Jacob 3:63-64, "And it came to pass that the servant saith unto his master." Okay, anybody know what the servant? Who is the servant in this? Jesus Christ. Who is the master? The Father. So throughout this prophecy, this is what is used in that verbiage. "The servant saith unto his master, How comest thou hither to plant this tree, or this branch of tree? For behold, it was the poorest spot in all the land of thy vineyard." So when you have that dispersion of Israel, there was these different plantings. And here in the prophecy of Zenos, there was four of them that it talks about. And then we'll talk about it a little bit more. "And the Lord of the vineyard said unto him, Counsel me not. I knew that it was a poor spot of ground, wherefore I said unto thee, I have nourished it this long time, and thou beholdst that it hath brought forth much fruit." So obviously, when like Nephi and his family came out, we have that record, and they did bear fruit for a long time. And there were others that he had led away and worked with them. We don't have their record. But we know it to be true. In Jacob 3:65, the second planting. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, look hither, behold, I have planted another branch of the tree also. And thou knowest that this spot of ground was poorer than the first. Well, that doesn't sound too promising, does it? Behold, the tree, I have nourished it this long time and hath brought forth much fruit. Therefore, gather it and lay it up against the season, that I may preserve it unto my own self. So he had the one who was in a poor spot. Now this is even poorer. That's interesting. Remember that, and we'll talk about it. Jacob 3:67-68. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saith again unto his servant, look hither, and behold another branch also, which I have planted. This is the third and fourth planting. Behold, that I have nourished it also, and it hath brought forth fruit. And he saith unto the servant, look, behold the last. Behold this, I have planted in a good spot of ground. And I have nourished it this long time. And only a part of the tree hath brought forth tame fruit. And the other part of the tree hath brought forth wild fruit. Behold, I have nourished this tree like unto the others. Now I'm going to stop here. Now, we've had the Book of Mormon since 1830. This prophecy has been a part of it, and Jacob. We've always wondered, as a church, trying to understand and put the pieces together of this prophecy. But guess what? All of our beautiful, lovely brothers and sisters who were entered into the waters of baptism in the body of Christ from 1830 up to the year 2000, or actually the year 1953, they missed out on what this was talking about. For the first planting, the second planting, and the third and fourth planting, let's continue on, and I'll talk a little more. So in John, the words of Christ, other sheep. John 10:14-16, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. And as you consider these words of Christ in the Bible, we find that there is a parallel verses that we find in the Book of Mormon that kind of explains what Christ was speaking here. At this time in the Bible, when you look and read this, you find that there was no more explanation to it. And I think that's interesting. Because we have the Book of Mormon and the words of Christ, and he reveals why he did not give them that understanding. And the one thing that they did not do, they failed to ask. And he said, because they did not ask, I didn't give them any more. It's very interesting. 3 Nephi 7:24-26. And verily, verily, I say unto you, and he's speaking to the one of those plantings, it happens to be the planting that we know in that our brother Moser and different ones have worked and labored long in that planting. It's in Yucatan. And if you remember correctly, the two groups of people that were there at the time, or they split up, you remember it said in there that one fell away. One kept the faith and one fell away. You know that Nephi and his family, Lehi and his family, they had a big division between the brothers, Nephi and the Lamanites, or Laman and Lemuel. And Laman and Lemuel broke away from his brother and his family. They became their own people. But then there was also the seed of Mulek that was also So you could look at it maybe in two ways, but really, the seed of Mulek, that was one of the sons of Zedekiah that came with them. Not didn't come with Nephi, but came to the Americas. And there's evidence of that. And they were in the city of Zarahemla. When the Nephites came upon them, you read it in Mosiah, you find that they didn't bring a record with them. But Nephi and his family, they had the record. They learned their language and helped them to understand. And they found out that they were part of Israel. And they became Nephites. And they were joined into one. So that's an important aspect of the whole prophecy when you find when they start to be reclaimed, as we're going to see. Christ said, I have other sheep, which are not of this land, neither the land of Jerusalem, neither in any parts of that land, round about whither I have been to minister. For they of which I speak are they which have not as yet heard my voice. Remember, we have the words of Christ because they heard the voice of Christ because he was with them and they recorded it. And we have it in the Book of Mormon. Neither for they of which I speak are they which have not as yet heard my voice, neither have I at any time manifested unto them. But I have received a commandment of my Father that I should go unto them, and that they shall hear my voice and shall be numbered among my sheep, that there may be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore I go to shew myself unto them. Again, there's another segue to this, because we know the prophecy of Daniel, the 7 weeks or the 7 years. And in the midst of the year, the Messiah would be cut off. And so we believe that that last part of the seven-year prophecy that Daniel gave is that when Christ was going and visiting these other plantings, bringing them the gospel, nurturing them again, and giving them the gospel as he did those in Jerusalem. And we have that record because of at least one of the tribes, and that was the seed of Joseph, as we have in the Book of Mormon. So why should we doubt any less? In Jacob 3:70-71, we find that prophecy of other sheep. But behold, the servant saith unto him, let us prune it and dig about it and nourish it a little longer. That's what Christ was going to do. And this is what that prophecy is saying, that he is going to have that work. That perhaps it may bring forth good fruit unto thee, that thou canst lay it up against the season. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and the servant of the Lord of the vineyard did nourish all the fruit of the vineyard, meaning that all those plantings that the Lord had done during that period of time, of the sheep that I have that are not of his fold, they're going to hear my voice. Do you believe it? We don't have those records yet. But guess what? 2 Nephi in the 12th chapter, all the way towards the end, you find that when Christ comes, all things will be revealed. Everything that had been written by the children of men from the day of Adam to that advent of time when he returns is going to be revealed. And it's for a wise purpose. And we're going to know. But right now, he has given us this evidence to carry to the world. And that's very important. It's a very important aspect of the Lord working with his bride in the last day. No other has that charge. Only this little church of Christ. And he brought them to us. These different plantings. It's important to know this. And why? In 3 Nephi 5:8, it says, and it saith unto them, behold, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him. He spoke those words when they heard after that great destruction, verifying who was doing this. The Lord of the vineyard. And the servant of the Lord of the vineyard did nourish all the fruit of the vineyard. in Jacob 3, 104 through 108. Who is it that hath corrupted my vineyard? So after those, that time when he went there and he brought them the gospel, we know in the Book of Mormon, there was a great revival in 4 Nephi, right? For 200 years, it was like the millennial reign. There was peace among the children of men. And then towards the end, sin entered in, and it totally collapsed. But we have, and that's part of this apostasy. Who is that that have corrupted my vineyard? We also know the Christian church. It collapses as well. That's why we're called the restored church of Christ. Because it had fallen in apostasy. The dark ages of time. It didn't mean that there wasn't things going on. But what the Lord had, his bride, was no longer there. And it came to pass that the servant saith unto his master, is it not the loftiness of the vineyard? This is an important aspect that we need to understand. Loftiness, what do we think that is? He's speaking of the Christian Gentiles, the pride. It was in their hands. Who hath corrupted the vineyard? Hath not the branches thereof overcome the roots? Those branches, as we know and as we go through that prophecy, they were grafted in at that time at the cross. The Apostle Paul and his ministry throughout what you find in the book of Acts and the other books of the Apostle Paul, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles took it and they became part of the bride of Christ at that time, and it grew. And the Jews rejected it. But then we find that what happened? Over time, no different than when the Lord had nourished the different vineyards at times past, the loftiness of thy vineyard. Hath the branches therefore overcome the roots? The basic teachings and promises of God, which are good. And because that the branches have overcome the roots thereof, behold, they grew faster than the strength of the roots thereof, taking strength unto themselves. Very important words to think about. Behold, I say, it is not this, the cause that the trees of thy vineyard have become corrupt. And we have to be on our guard. We don't want to be and fall into this. Sometimes we have done that. And we have to be very careful with the things that God has entrusted in our hands. Jacob 3, 112 and 114. Wherefore, let us take the branches of these which I have planted in the nethermost parts of the vineyard, and let us now graft them into the tree from whence they came. That our mission. This is what God has given us to do. And let us pluck from the tree those branches whose fruit is most bitter, and graft in the natural branches. So the whole thing concerning Zeno said towards the end of the end times, this is what it's talking about. Of the tree in the stead thereof. And this will I do, that the tree may not perish before the return of Christ, that perhaps I may preserve unto myself the roots thereof from mine own purpose. And we can find that and see some of those purposes in the prophecies of Jeremiah and Isaiah and Zechariah, a remnant of Israel being preserved. The restoration. Yeah, it speaks of the restoration. Jacob 3, 124 and 125. And that I may have joy again in the fruit of my vineyard, and perhaps that I may rejoice exceedingly, that I have preserved the roots, the basic doctrines, the things that the Lord is preordained, that the children of men should understand and know and follow the branches of the first fruits. Wherefore, go to and call servants that we may labor diligently with our mites in the vineyard, that we may prepare the way that I may bring forth again the natural fruit. See, call servants. And that's the ministry that you have today in the Bride of Christ. That I may bring forth again the natural fruit. Which natural fruit is good and the most precious above all other fruit. So what is the natural fruit? What is it? What is the Lord looking for? Alma 5:38-39. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you that I might awaken you to your sense of your duty to God. Every one of us. The whole human family of Adam. That ye may walk blameless before him, that ye may walk after the holy order of God, after which ye have been received. And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long suffering, being temperate in moderation or self-restraint in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times. Very important part. That's in the Book of Mormon. What does it say in the Bible? Ephesians 5:8-11. There's others, but I chose this one. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Why was he saying that? They had entered into the waters of baptism. They had kept the commandments that Christ had given them. They had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, this is what the Lord desires, is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Why? Because it glorifies him here on earth. You bring glory to God when you do these things. When you do the opposite, you bring shame upon God. And that's a horrible thing, because I know. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's a warning. For all of us to be aware of. And be diligent. Endeavoring to not get caught up in that. And have, but rather reprove them. So those branches that were recovered, I lost a slide. It says, let the first be last, and the last shall be first. The first planting will be last, and the last planting will be first out of those three. In the book of Jacob, the last planting was in a good spot of ground. In 1953, a local was formed in Yucatan, the beachhead, fulfilling the prophecies of Christ when he spoke in 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter. You find that he said, in the fullness of the Gentiles, this record, your record will come back to you. If you remember Brother Don standing up and talking about those things. He worked 60 years among the people there. Brother Hubert worked there as well. Different ones have been there. When our Brother Wheaton had taken that Book of Mormon down there, it was recorded that when he read from that book, the last Mayan king took the book and held it in his hand and said, this is the record that the black robes destroyed, priests destroyed, acknowledging that it was theirs. That's your heritage. We didn't fully understand this beautiful thing in Zenos until these things started to unfold. Then guess what happened in 1999? So we know the fullness of the Gentiles was there. And then now in 1999, the Lord filled the quorum for a great purpose. Then there was someone from Africa who reached out to the Church of Christ. We want to know more about you. Us little church, a nobody. And Moses was the first one to be baptized. And there was an established a local there in 2001. That, remember, the first one was in a poor spot of ground. A poor spot of ground was the second planting, and 3 and 4 was in a good spot. So now we're going from the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Okay, so the last, boop. Oh, guess what's next? Africa, boop. And then 2002, guess what happened? Somebody from the Philippines said, we want to know more about you. And the first ones were baptized. And we have a local there. And it flourished. And guess what? Each one of them in Chichi and in the Philippines, they believe they're part of the lost tribe of Israel, and they have some evidence of it. Same thing in the Philippines. They don't know how, but guess what? They have an affinity to the Book of Mormon and the Word of God. And so we see that grow. It was part of the plan that God had given the Bride of Christ. Leading up, if you remember what it said, in preparation for the things that were to come in the return of Christ. So with that in the background, just to help you to understand it, now we're going to go and look at a few things. All right? So in conference in 2022, funding was given to the project there at the headquarters to help. We had a two-story building because that was a couple years before. And then we had the old building where the Alamedas were living. And so we put a second deck up there and just filled it all in. And so I wanted you to know and understand where your monies were going. This was part of that project. And you see where they worked, and how they worked, it was all by hand. And they did all of that. And guess what? Andy, there were flip-flops and shorts. Okay? They may have had a helmet on, maybe. Okay? When they were doing all of it. Okay? And I don't think anybody got hurt. And we praised God. So the next one is... I want you to understand in Ephesians 4:11-12, the priesthood there, and I know in Yucatan, and I know in Africa, when they meet, they're willing and able to serve, and the Spirit of the Lord is with them. I've been to Africa, and I still, my heart, I cannot wait for that day when we're all together. That's one family praising our God. He gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. And he's called ministry. And we have 16 of them in the Philippines. And so here you see our brothers as we're coming together. It's a standard thing when we come and we have a meeting room downstairs. And we come and meet with the ministry when we first get there that first weekend so we can prepare for our trip for the 3 weeks that we're there. And you see, these are some of our ministers there at the time. Another thing that's very important is they're active and energized. Our priesthood in the Philippines had participated in the last two general conferences. That one of our brother, Lodi J, Alameda, he had a computer, and you get one computer, one vote, okay? But the ministry were there in that conference room, as you can see, when Jeff was there this last time, and they were watching, and they were they were listening to what was going on, and they participated in some of the activities in their voting. I marvel at that. I thank God for that. They wanted to do that because they want to be a part of it. We have a board, and the board meets on a monthly time. When the priesthood come together, I say in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps and governments and diversities of tongues. And so some of these things, these things designed and ordained of God. And what they do is they are the agency kind of the where overviews the expenditures and approves different things to keep everything transparent. Transparency. We worked on that, and they gladly are doing that. They fill out expense reports, brothers. They do fill out expense reports there, and they're reviewed by the chairman of the priesthood and the secretary, as well as this board. No different than we would do here in the United States. And that's an important aspect of all of this. And they know the benefit of it, and they're thankful for it. This is the board. There is a change in that, where one of our sisters, Ruth, is on the far, that would be on this side. Ruth is sitting there. She's no longer on the board. But you have our sister Lolita and Leah May and Narcissus, and then Omega May, and then Jose Manali in the back is over here. That's just another brother that was standing in. So they're not in the ministry, but they're an active board, and they are elected among themselves. Work continues to grow. As a recorder, I received 87 baptisms within the last 4 months, and that was for my conference report. 3 missions were formed and 16 more baptized. Baptisms I received in March after our February trip there. And so I want you to see something. Last year, around November, Our brothers were working with this group of people that heard about the Book of Mormon and our church, and they wanted to know more. And they didn't just go out there and grab and say, okay, let's go baptize you. No, they didn't do that. They spent weeks working with them. I met with them when we were over there last year, teaching them what it means to be a member in the body of Christ. And I remember how all their questions they were asking me, and I was unfolding things out of the Book of Mormon as well. And the day came when they were ready to take on that responsibility, and they were baptized. Telekogon mission. The Youth Camp Land Projects, they have copra, which is dried coconuts, which they obviously, it's an island with lots of coconuts, and those who have coconut trees on their land, what they do is they take the coconuts, they split them, and they pull out the meat, and they let them dry, and then they sell that, and it's processed in coconut oil, and that's part of their living. They are not a paid ministry over there. They get only their expenses that they've done when they're going to their missions. Some of their brothers there's 12 missions in one zone alone, one elder that cares for all that. You have pigs or baboys that they raise and to sell for money to help raise for different things. Right now we're doing it, getting ready for our youth camp. And then they have a garden that they grow on the youth land right now. When we were over there, they had a lot of flooding in December and February and the earthquakes. And so they have tithing and offerings that they gather and send back, and it's in a bank account. And so when these things happen, they have the funds to help themselves in these by rice distribution and different things. Their tithes and offerings are used to do those kinds of things. They're thankful that they're able to do these things. They're growing, trying to be self-sufficient. So I'm going to flash you back to February. That was my report in April. So here we are. We're arriving at the airport. This is kind of the normal thing that we see when we pull in there. It's a small little airport in Davao. When you come in and look at the inside, you see these things. What this was at Kadayawan. That's a festival, and it happens in November. It's a festival that, let me bring it up here for you. It says, in 1970, Mayor Elias Lopez encouraged all the Davao tribes to showcase their Thanksgiving rituals. They all have them. It's always in November, and it's for the full month of November. Isn't that interesting? Kind of sounds like the Mosaic Law, right? Has to do with their harvest. And they celebrate and they thank God for it. But anyhow, since in 86, Davao City government focused the uniting of the people in their turbulent times of martial law. When I was in the Navy, I was over there in 72, and it was martial law. And they had shotguns, and they were walking in the streets, and you had to clear the streets, or you got shot. And that was a pretty tough time at that time for our people and the different people that lived there. At this time, the festival was called Apo Diwali. This name was created as a combination of three natural wonders, Mount Apo and durian, which is a fruit like this, and you don't want to eat it. They love it, but you can't. Andy's laughing. We tried it. You burp it for at least a day or two after you eat it. It's pretty powerful stuff. They won't even allow it in commercial transportation. They won't allow the fruit on there because it's so pungent in the smell. But anyhow, and then the Waling Waling, which is an orchid. In 88, the festival was officially named Kadayawan Festival by the mayor and former president, Rodrigo Duterte. But anyhow, it's no different than we see in the American tribes. Each one of them have their own set of clothes, their tribal chiefs and everything else throughout all the islands. They have their own dialect. They have a common language. But it's no different. It's kind of interesting to think about. Here's our greeting, right? Our greeting party. It's a tradition, and I know Jay has done this before. Jolly Roger, they got to stop and eat at Jolly Roger as they're bringing us from the airport and taking us to the headquarters. And then they've always got a bunch of dogs there to meet us also. When we start our priesthood meeting, we have our greetings in the morning. Our sister Melba, she's one of the founding members back in 2001, too, when they were baptized. And she was having a time. So the priesthood meeting, now we're going to go down to business, right? So the priesthood meeting, it's break time. Goodness gracious. Narcissa, when we get started, you know, it's almost like, I don't know, when you have your union or whatever, they go, okay, it's break time, you know, been here an hour, okay, it's break time, you know, boom, they come out and bring out all the different things for you to have for your break, and I know Jay knows all about that too, so you can see our brothers enjoy it, and they do like their break, okay, because they get something sweet and something to drink. So here, Kayokmai, this is one of the missions that we went to when we were over there, Brother Mike and I, it's in Zone 2. I want you to see, you see the building, we buy the property, and they are responsible for building the building, okay? So they come up with the money and they build the building, no different than here in the United States. And I love to take pictures of all these beautiful little kids. They really are marvelous to watch. We have our normal meetings. You can see inside there. If you look over there on the far over here, I guess that's why. Did you see those benches that are just poles? That's kind of normal, okay? It's a little unnormal to have some plastic chairs to sit on sometimes in these small missions. And you always have your your mission dog. He's in there, and sometimes you have a chicken running around in there as well. Whatever. But they're there to glorify God. So the next slide I'm going to do, and I'm hoping it's going to work, and Michelle, this is for you. In Nusabanga is a dear brother, Danny and Elizabeth Ndangan. He's the son of our elder, Demetrio Ndangan, who is going to be 92 in November, a founding member, when the church was begun. And there were three that were baptized at that time, and he was one of them. And then Prudencio and Lolita was the other two. They were the first three members who were baptized in the Church of Christ. Anyhow, this is one of the songs that I want you to hear. It's a love song. I really feel like loving you because of the love you showed me. Like I'm restless when I'm away from you, so no, I will not leave you. I really feel like loving you because of the love you showed me. Like I'm restless when I'm away from you, so no, and I will not leave you, O Lord. And then the chorus, you can see that as well. It's going to be in Cebuano. It's not going to be in English. That's why I put this up there, so you kind of know what they're talking about, right, or what they're singing about. So if I have any, let me see, let me turn this back on. If I have any luck at all, I just might have, you can hear it. And it's not going to do it for me, or is it slow? Ay vey. Don't you love technology? I hooked up the speakers and everything just so you can hear it. I have an old computer. On my new computer, all we'd hear was its speakers, and maybe it would have been better. Anyhow, you see them singing it. I'm sorry you can't hear it. That was the main reason why I had all this set up. It looks like it's trying to do something, but it's not. Huh. Oh, well. I have failed. I'm sorry. I can bring up my computer, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. Oh, there it goes. What happened? First thing you probably notice that none of their words connect anywhere. Sometimes you hear a Spanish word. And that was just a preview of what it sounds like. We've got another one that our brother and elder sings, and he's kind of like Adam. He plays his own guitar. Love is the only reason why I serve you, even though my life is suffering. Why do I offer at your feet? My whole life is devoted to you. Why do I leave everything, whether it's fame or wealth? I don't need them just to serve you. Now, that those words, I want you to understand, this man was a member of the tribal chiefhood. His father was the chief, and he, being George, was the next in line to be chief. He was called to be an elder in the Church of Christ. And his father said, it's time now to take the chief position. And he turned it down. He says, I'm going to serve my God. His father disowned him. But he bided his time, prayed for him, and was kind and used the fruits of the Spirit. His father saw something totally different than he had ever seen before. And today his father glorifies God and his son. That was a tough decision. And this, why I serve you, he sings this song. See if I can't get this one going. Don't do this.
Walking up the beast, I go. Ang latay, nandung sa panahon mo, tugo at buhay lang sa'yo. Hindi ang gating pala ang inaasahan ko. Langit ang dahilan bakit ako'y sa'yo. Hindi ang kayamanan kapalit o Diyos. Pag-ibig ang siyang tanging dahilan.
So that's a little bit of what that sounds like. Here's another one of our missions. It's been around for a while. It's in Mopaso. I know Jay's been there, right, Jay?
Yeah.
And you see there inside, you see how it looks. And then you see there's a big courtyard. See that courtyard just across from the church opening there. And you see there's those there that they plant corn. That's another one of their ways of making money. And they would dry it and shuck it. You can see that. And sometimes they'll lay all that corn, lay it out and dry it out on the ground and then sweep it up and put it in bags and sell it. That's part of their way of making money. Here we have, when we're going to the different missions and stuff like that, the youth always participate in something to help us to understand it. Most of the time it's some of their tribal songs and their dances and some of the things go along with it. The way they do their performance is telling the story as well. And you also see our little brother Lucas, and that's Lodi J's son, and he's learning how to tithe. That's what he's doing there. It's not always easy to get into the church. Here's in Tumending. You see Brother Mike is climbing in there. You see these beautiful children, and you just want to scoop them up and give them hugs. I tell you, there's so many of them. But anyhow, you see, this is another one of the churches. Well, I have another song. This is a group song I want you to listen to. The song is In Your Presence. In Your Presence, I am happy. In Your Presence, I am blessed. In Your Presence, I have peace. I dedicate my life to You. Oh, Lord, I will praise You. Oh, Lord, I will worship You, and this is my life. Now, it'll be the congregation, and I want you, now that you know what the words are, when they sing it, it really touches my heart. So make sure you turn that rascal up there, Logan, when we get do this. See if I can't get this.
Sa presensya mo ay gagawin ako. Sa presensya mo ay gagawin ako. Sa presensya mo ay gagawin ako. Ikaw'y Oh, God.
When you're there and you're listening to them singing that praises, it touches my heart. So this is the congregation in its completeness, and the picture of the leader, Dodi Layuran, and his wife, Rosalyn Layuran. And you see the kids down here on the lower part, they're in line. Brother Mike had, I guess it was Brother Frank that got it started. They would bring bags of candy. And after all the services and after they'd eaten and everything, just before we'd leave, they'd break out the candy. And the kids would line up, and that is so much fun to watch. And they're there waiting for it, you know. And you can see them all lined up. And then, as you leave, you watch them sitting there sucking on their lollipops, right? I love it. This is some of the scenery as you're driving to go to some of the missions. This particular mission is way up on top of the hill where Brother Jacob and his family live. They live off the side of the road with stilts holding it up, and you have the roadway, and that roadway is like this. So when you're looking out the door, it's like that. And I'm not joking how steep that is. You were there, Jay? Yeah. You can't even hardly walk across the road. It's so steep. You're doing this. But we went up there and administered to his wife. I joked around about the little one on the table there. That's the table where you would normally preach and stuff. I said, I thought we'd done away with the Baal sacrifices. Anyhow. But that's called the Noah mission up there. Then we have another mission that we went to see. This one is a new one, Ilamavis in North Cotabato. And you can see people were converted. They already had the church, and they were converted. And we bought the land and have title to the land. And so they worship there. And we see Brother Mike, and if you notice, see here's the tribal dress, and the little one, the little girl there, and you see her feet, bare feet and stuff. That's kind of a normal thing, you know, they'll do with their tribal dance. And then you see the little guy over there, he wanted to go into the picture as well. And then, like all the other ones, you have an interpreter helping us in that work over there. And we saw this little guy here with spina bifida or something like that, where, you know, he's deformed. And yet the sweet sister was getting him to laugh. And I mean, just, it was so precious. I had to get that picture. And you see the family there. We had we blessed a little one. And so the family is all there with to join in on that as well and have their pictures taken with their little one after it's been blessed. Typically, we're marching up to wherever the locals are, or the missions are. I mean, you've got a path, you walk up there, and you come to the church. This is Saging Mission. It's a beautiful area. Across the street, they grow tilapia in big tanks. But anyhow, you go up there, and then inside, it looks like this. Again, pretty typical. Once they get all gathered together, there's people standing outside as well as inside. It's pretty full. And then you find that... again, the kids are doing their thing, and then we walk on back after we hold our services. This is kind of a normal thing as we go. Then as we're traveling, you see the rice fields with the coconuts as they're growing. And you see the ocean. We'll go past the ocean a lot of times when we're driving to different places. They do have a 7-Eleven, right, so we can get coffee. So they do have some modern things there, right? We're headed on up. We're going up to where Dinawan is. So we left the seacoast. You see the river down there. We went over the river at the seacoast on the bridge, and then we had breakfast, and we're driving on up. Some beautiful scenery. And we come to the barangay, Dinawan Barangay. This is where we could not go. They had rebels that kind of occupied the place, and if you were a white person, it wasn't a good place to be. But Duterte, in his reign as a president, he kind of got rid of all that. They do not have cell service because they're keeps that all shut down because the rebels were using it. One of the things is that that big building over there on the right where you see the blue and yellow, that's their normal. All the Baron guys have those meeting areas. And what was interesting about that is on the pillars, they had this beautiful ornate drawings. It was like a totem pole, just like you would find in one of the Native American meeting places. And I was going, oh man, I got my camera out, and they go, no. And they told me, no, you can't do that. I said, what are you talking about? You cannot take any pictures. You're not allowed. And I'm okay. I wanted them so bad. But that's how tight they keep this up here. But we had to stop here and get permission to go on up. It was a four-hour drive to get to here. And then there was more to go. As we left the pavement, then you see there's just gravel road and stuff. And then you see the homes up there. Their main chief is cutting timber, selling it. And so all their buildings is of this timber. It's such that they don't, termites don't bother it and stuff as bad as most stuff. And it doesn't, when they dry, it doesn't, like pine, it doesn't twist and stuff. It's a heavy wood. So this is when we were going to walk up. It was almost a 6-hour trek over 3 mountain ranges, up and down 3 hills. This was the beginning that we had. There was a group of, some of the group of the young people came so that they had enough people in case I didn't make it, right? But they were all happy and we were headed off. I want you to hear, this is how you go down and up the hills. It's all mud, okay? Logan, I'm going to see if you can do this and you can hear it. You ready? You see how steep it is and all the mud and everything? That's just one. So we started at the top, we went down, crossed the river, went up, went down, crossed the river, went up, down, crossed the river, and went up. And it was all like this, up and down the whole time through the jungle. It was pretty strenuous. When we got to the top, there's the map, 5 hours and 43 minutes. And on the top, you see the same kind of buildings and stuff. There's 200 and some odd baptized members up there of that tribe. 76 of them are of one family. This is their little home of Roger Bayon, his family. This is where we stayed when we were up there. It's a very modest place. And here's when we were eating. Oh, interesting here. Who likes frog heads? Boiled frog heads. Oh, Jerry likes them. Well, the reason I said that guy in the red shirt, Bada DeGrino, they made them just for him because he loves boiled frog legs. Now, I told him I liked frog legs, so I got fried frog legs. They got the boiled frog heads. But anyhow, we're up there enjoying our meal in the evening. This is where I almost killed myself in the middle of the night. I traveled that almost 6 hours. I walked and everything. Didn't hurt myself. In the middle of the night, I had to go to the restroom. They call it a comfort room. And I was in my flip-flops, and all this mud is always there and slippery. My feet went out from underneath me, and I came down. I didn't want to get muddy, and I caught myself, and I've really done a number on my wrist. But there's the church. You see the little blue roof, and that's the church that we're walking to, and you have to walk very carefully. And like I said, they have the Danawa mission. It's the first time that any of us white guys have been there. It was amazing. Really, to be with them and stuff. Here's the congregation. I hope you just see what it looked like inside. But I really rejoiced that I was able to be there. And then as we were getting ready to part, this is Roger Bayon and his wife and his 2 children in their home. This is one of the rivers that we crossed. And this, Logan, this will be, I believe you'll hear this as well, but you'll see them cross. Now, they didn't take me across there because it's very slippery. They took me through that rushing water down. That was even more difficult. Right? This means waffle. Nice look.
With Elder Gordon McGurn.
Okay. I do that all the time.
Bruce, Pastor Jay Alameda.
Now watch him. He gets a little... he doesn't take his mind off of things. And this is the reason why they didn't let me walk on that across. Watch him.
Careful.
Brother George almost fell in when he was in the middle of that. We've got a bunch of monkeys that live there. They're on a smaller one over off to the side, and I'll show you. But if they walk over there, they don't have anything to hang on to. There you are. Look at that. We go high, we do that all night with our big load, right? Lordy J, the guy who slept, the last hill going up when we were going there, he got really nasty cramp in his leg. They had two young bucks come down, they threw him on their back, and they piggybacked him all the way up the hill. It was amazing. These guys are and they did that, and that amazed me. But that's what it looks like. And then this is the group after we were finished, all together after we had done everything and we were at the top. And we head on back home. If you see that, all those confluences went to that one river, and that's what that is. So another venture is going to Agusan del Sur. They got a river there, and it's a big open area. They killed a very, very large 20-some foot alligator. They accidentally killed it. They were trying to preserve it. They found in this river someplace, and they were trying to cart it out of the area, and it died. I think Jay knows about that big, huge alligator that was there. But these are the boats that you ride them to get to the mission that we're going to. And there's where the mission is, and you can see how the water is always around and floods and everything, but they live with it and with the mosquitoes and everything else. But that's how you get there. That's about a 45-minute boat ride up the river or more. And then you see we always have the beautiful little children and stuff there in the group. And if you see, it was flooding into the rice fields and stuff. That's the water was so high and flooding at the time. I'm almost through. This is another mission. This happens to be in Consuelo. That's a kitchen there, if you notice up there at the top. And there's the people. This is a local. And we had an ordination after we had come back. There was a calling. Our brother Jonel, he was called to be a teacher, and he was ordained on April 30th. And that little guy, that's his son, Jared Peter. So he covered the Book of Mormon and the Bible both, right? He's a very talented man, and he teaches from both canons of Scripture. And then here's another one, Eden Bayabasit. If you see that little one there that the lady is holding, before she was born, I was there, and the mother had asked for administration because she was having problems, and she wanted to have the child. She was afraid that she was going to lose the child. And so we administered to her. And then the next time we went over there, the baby was born, and she came rushing over and showed us the little one, and now here it is, 2 years old. And she still comes, and she wants her picture and everything. That's a testimony of God's love with them. And so this was the last one. A little mission, Kittipawan, that we went to. See those two little ones? They were headed up our way as we were walking on the trail. Mama and different ones were where they had the water tank, and probably our sister from Honduras that will know all about it. And Mama is there with the kids and stripped down naked, and she's washing the kids. Well, these little ones are coming up for theirs. One of them's already stripped, the other one isn't, but it was cute. I just had to get their picture. Heading up the hill. And this is the group in there. You notice their traditional clothing, the tribal clothing. And a lot of times the women and children, because it's during the day and the men are working. And this is saying goodbye. Here they are, they're eating. The dog's looking to hope that maybe that little one will drop something. But there you have the little ones there waiting for you. We're at the end of our trip. A couple more slides and we're done. They always give us a send-off dinner. And then then Lucas and Leah Mayer saying goodbye. It rained horribly the night before. I mean, it poured down raining, and it closed the road to the airport. Thankfully, our flight was later in the day. If it was early in the morning, we would have missed it. If you notice that, the water's coming out of their homes. It's just gushing out of their homes into the streets. That's kind of a normal thing during the monsoon weathers and stuff. And when we were leaving, you can see the clouds. But you see that road is totally flooded, and that one all the way down back there. And then Mount Apo, that's what that is. It's master of the grandfathers, what that means, Apo. It's 9,600 feet, something like that. It doesn't get snow on it. But that gives you a sense of what it's like flying and going to the Philippines. I should have left that up. That's beautiful, isn't it? Thank you for your time. The thing I want you to understand, God moves in mysterious ways, and you're a part of it. Don't forget it. You're a part of it. May God be the glory. Thank you.